sing of the great things he has done. He has come to this world to purchase every sin, to redeem us of those sins. Let's sing this. So come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. Of his blood, he saved us. He paid every penalty that we deserve. Let's sing and celebrate him this morning. Sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now just sing,
oh, my heart and this I see.
Amen. We have so much to be thankful for as we go into the week of Thanksgiving and celebrating the goodness of God and all the things that we have to be thankful for. I'm thankful for you, our church family, First Baptist Church. If you're a guest here, if it's the first time that you visited with us, we ask that you fill out that connection card that's located in our worship guide. If you're watching and online, go to fbcpineville.net/connect and fill that out as well. And at the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to meet our pastor for our first time guest out in the foyer. He will give you a copy of his book, The Privilege of Worship. And what a privilege it is to be here in the house of the Lord today to lift praises and songs to our Father. And this morning, we also have another opportunity. We have the opportunity to pray for our students. This afternoon, they're going to get on the bus and they're going to head to Rapides Parish Coliseum, where they're going to join about 4,500 of their brothers and sisters in Christ as they worship at Youth Evangelism Conference. I pray for hearts and lives to be open, to be changed, to be drawn closer to Him. And so this morning, as we go to Him in prayer, we're going to focus our time of prayer on them and for our worship service. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we can come into Your house this morning and we can sing praises to Your name. We are thankful for the blood of Jesus and how You desire a relationship with each one of us, Father. And Lord, I pray that as we spend time in Your word today, that we would be drawn closer to You, and that we too would desire a strong, growing relationship with You. And God, as our students go to Youth Evangelism Conference over these next 2 days, Father, that when they walk out of that building tonight and tomorrow, that they would have a closer walk with You. And Lord, we know that boys and girls, young men and young women, that are going to that, there are some that do not have a relationship with You. So God, may their life forever be changed. May they walk away having met You in a very real and powerful way, Father. Lord, we are going to be quick to give You all the honor and glory and praise for what will be done, not only in this worship service, but also for Youth Evangelism Conference, Lord. Meet with us now. Inhabit our praises as we sing and we lift our voices to You. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing this together.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider
sing.
Then sings my soul. Don't you get shy on me. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all that you've blessed us with. We thank you so much for all that we have, Lord, and just ask that you bless these offerings that as we give, may we give with a joyful heart, knowing that we have nothing without you, Lord, and that it's all yours in the first place. Bless it to further your kingdom. May we always put you first, and thank you for your son, Jesus, for saving us through him. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This morning we're back in Psalm 103, and I hope that you're there with me as we finish up this series, Forget Not All His Benefits of Psalm 103. Do you know where the idea of a string tied around a finger to not forget something came from? I mean, it's really an iconic kind of thing. A string around a finger is meant to remind us to do something. Does anybody, though, actually do that? A few of you? Just a handful? I was kind of wondering, like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do it. But it's an iconic thing, and we know what it means. In fact, when I was looking for a picture to kind of use for this series, and I forget, for kind of topped into Google, forget not, and just all these pictures of strings tied around fingers popped up. And so that's what we went with. Well, in the coming weeks, I bet many of us are going to watch It's a Wonderful Life for the umpteenth time. Maybe it's part of your Christmas tradition. It is ours. And Jimmy Stewart's iconic movie from 1946 includes scatterbrained Uncle Billy, who ties not one but multiple strings around his fingers so he doesn't forget stuff. And of course, he ends up forgetting to deposit the money, or forgets where he put the money for the savings and loan that he was supposed to deposit, which of course creates the whole crisis for the entire movie. Now, the idea of a string reminder, though, goes way farther back than even the 1940s, and It's a Wonderful Life didn't make this popular. To forget is human, and God often tells us not to forget things, and so actually in the Bible, there are instructions to use strings as a reminder. And he gives us these ways to not forget the things he's done, the things he's told us, and he takes us there by the use of strings. And though it's metaphorical, Proverbs 7 verses 2 through 3 instructs us in this way. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Look at that. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. But even farther back in the Old Testament, we find instructions for the use of string reminders in the people of Israel. And these are not metaphorical. They were literal to be used. Numbers 15, 37 to 41, the Lord says to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you're to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lust of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now these tassels mentioned in Numbers are actually called tzitzit. Not zit, but tzitzit. And anytime the Jews saw a tzitzit on their own clothing or on the clothing of another Jew, they were to remember the Lord. They were to remember the commands of the Lord. Now, Orthodox Jews still today use this same kind of string in modified ways. Remembering is important. We certainly don't want to forget where we put the money that we were supposed to deposit. But we also don't want to forget some far more important things. And God says that the things related to Him are the most important things we need to remember. So Psalm 103 tells us to praise the Lord and to forget not all His benefits. We cannot forget all of the good things that God does for us. And we've already seen so much that should fill us with gratitude as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this week. We've explored the benefits of forgiveness, of healing, of redemption, of loving compassion. And this morning we wrap up this series looking at the last couplet of two benefits that we find, the benefits of satisfaction and rejuvenation. Let's begin with the benefit of satisfaction. David says, God satisfies our desires with good things in verse 5. I was at the LeCount campus on Wednesday night. Thomas and I, I usually am at Pineville and Thomas is at LeCount, but we swapped last week because I had a meeting after church last night to prepare for Christmas in the country last Wednesday night. And usually I write what we do on Wednesday nights, and then Thomas does that and tweaks it for what he's got to do. But so we were asking questions of both campuses last week. One of the questions we asked was, how has God been faithful to you this year? And so the LeCount campus folks shared, and there were some good answers. But then Betty Beard shared at the end of that, she said, you know what I thought about? When we used to share Thanksgiving things in our Sunday school class, Mary Thomas, who went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, used to always say, I'm thankful that God always gives enough. And I just jotted that down on my paper when she said that, because I thought, that's such a good thought. Think about that word, enough. On Thursday, most of us are going to feast on turkey and dressing and sides of casseroles and desserts and pies and rolls and whatever else your family does. And we're gonna feast and we're gonna have a great time. And after we eat, then you might watch some football, but you might take a nap. You know, I always say Jesus took naps, be like Jesus. You know, naps are a spiritual thing. People blame naps at Thanksgiving on the tryptophan in the turkey, but I really think it's the carbohydrates in the casseroles and the desserts that do it. And there's something special about a carb coma nap. I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to mine on Thursday. Well, some of us on Thursday, we're going to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat some more, and then we're going to say, oh, I'm so full, I'm not going to eat for the rest of my life because I ate too much. Because too much creates misery. Too little creates want. But just enough is just right. And God gives us enough, because when we have enough, we are satisfied. God satisfies our desires. Satisfaction does not come from too much, it comes from enough. In fact, the original word we translate satisfies, you know what it means? To have enough. It means to eat or drink your fill. So Miss Mary was exactly right when she said, God gives us enough. When God gives enough, He always fills our desires, as David said, with good things. The good of verse 5 comes from God. And so that good means that these things are pleasant. They are desirable. They are useful. They are kind. We might even say they are inherently good. They're not good in the sense that I want them, and so, oh, goody, goody, I got it. They are inherently good because they come from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Something this completely good can only come from God. And so that makes us think, well, what are these good things that God gives us? I mean, certainly they're more than material benefits. They're more than money or status or some earthly prosperity. And so as I thought about what are these good things, I think David's saying it's all these things that he's just talked about. The good things are these many benefits that God gives us, because certainly we desire forgiveness of our sins, and God gives us that good thing. Certainly we want healing of our diseases, and God gives us that good thing. Certainly we want redemption from the pits of life and the pit of death, and God gives us that good thing. We want to be surrounded with God's love and compassion, and God gives us that good thing. And we want to be satisfied, and God gives us that as well. God gives us so many good things in addition, though, even to these benefits that we mentioned here. And if we were to take time to share testimonies, I'm sure we could say, well, I'm grateful God gives me this, or God has given me that, or God's given me that. But do you know what the very best thing God gives us is? and we can forget it if we're not careful. The very best thing God gives us is Himself. The best thing God gives us is Himself, because Scripture teaches us that God is good. God is good. And His presence in our life and His plan for us are the source of the greatest satisfaction we can have. God is forever working to fill our life with good things, because according to His presence with us and His plan for us, He can then move us to the life He wants us to have. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give a future and a hope. That's good things. You see, the emphasis is not on what we possess, but on what possesses us, or rather, who possesses us. We are possessed by the Lord. Scripture reminds us of this fact. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You could say, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want, because He brings all these good things into my life. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. The prophet Jeremiah experienced some times that would not be described as good. In fact, it seems like his ministry was pretty miserable, but he was faithful. And he wrote an entire book called Lamentations, which you could kind of say is just a book of complaining, lamenting, crying out to God about the things that are happening. Yet even in the midst of Lamentations, in Lamentations 3:21 and 26, Jeremiah says this, yet I will call to mind and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is Thy faithfulness. Because God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I mean, indeed, God is good. He's faithful. And that is cause for thanksgiving. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:13, even if we are faithless, He is faithful. And that faithfulness brings satisfaction. As God works in us to sanctify us, we find increasing joy in Him. So you could think about it this way. You know, the idea of sanctification is being sanctified, becoming more and more like Christ. And it's the people who are sanctified that are truly satisfied. Sanctification leads to satisfaction. You can be full on Thursday after your meal. You can be miserable on Thursday afternoon and take your nap. And maybe you go to bed on Thursday night, and guess what's going to happen when you wake up Friday morning? What's for breakfast? Some of you are even going to, about 8 o'clock on Thursday night, no matter how miserable you were at lunch, you're like, where's that turkey? I'm going to make me a sandwich. Right? Why is that? Because the things of the world never fully satisfy. Even when we're having overabundance of it, it never truly satisfies. But God completely satisfies. At a youth camp that I attended with our students years ago, the group Unhindered led worship. And As with most youth camps, you sing the same 5-7 songs throughout the whole week. And this particular band was leading worship, and so that means they're playing their song. So on Monday night, you don't have a clue what you're singing. But then by Friday, the songs are written on your heart and mind. And as I was thinking about the fact that God completely satisfies, the song by Unhindered, who led worship that week, came to mind. It says, "Only you completely satisfy. Only you can bring this heart of mine to life. In the shadow of your wings, I find refuge, I find peace. Only you completely satisfy." There's nothing on earth that can satisfy us deeply except God Himself. And God's blessings are not just about helping us get by. I mean, He doesn't want us to live just from hand to mouth, from day to day. He wants us to live with His blessings as He loves us. As this psalm tells us, that He loves us from everlasting to everlasting. And that's how He wants to live our lives. Not just to get by, but to live with the blessings that He brings. We should trust in God's provision and find our ultimate satisfaction in Him rather than in the temporary things of this world that can never truly satisfy. And the reason for that is because when you find your satisfaction in God, you then find the second thing that David says. You find the benefit of rejuvenation. He says, "So that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I think that "so that's" kind of referring back to everything He's just said. Don't forget the benefits that He's given. He forgives your sins. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Those of you who are 40 and up, I think you'll agree with me on this. Somewhere around your 40s, you start looking backward and wanting to be younger. Thank you, Philip. I remember as a young pastor when I was in my 20s, pastoring at Forestburg, and I was 25 or something like that when I was pastoring there, 26. And everybody would say, "Oh, our young pastor." And I did. I had a baby face. I looked like a baby. But, you know, our young pastor, and I could not wait to turn 30. Because I thought that once I turned 30, there would be like this instant, I don't know, aura of age on me or something. And so I turned 30, and I was so excited to be able to say, "I'm 30. Well, when I was 31, the Lord called me here to this church. And at that time, the church had been through a long decline and a split, and 90% of the people sitting out there were over 70 years old enough to be my grandparents. So guess what I heard as a 31-year-old? "Our young pastor. He's our young pastor. We love our young pastor." Well, you know what? Then it seemed like the next day I turned 40, and I didn't hear "young" as much anymore. But I have to tell you, something marvelous happened Wednesday. We have a pastor care team, and I don't know if the guys even knew this, that they said this. But we're sitting there, and they're talking about things. And one of them said, "Well, our young pastor, well, he's not as young as he used to be, but he's still a young pastor." You know what I was doing in my seat, in my heart? So bring it on. That does not, at 48, that doesn't offend me to hear "young pastor." We long for youth, don't we? And we long for that. Juan Ponce de Leon, other than having one of the absolute coolest names in history. I mean, right, Juan Ponce de Leon. He is credited with naming Florida and then his quest for the Fountain of Youth. Now, modern scholarship says, well, the quest for the Fountain of Youth wasn't the main thing he was after. But nevertheless, I'm not sure we'd even know about the Fountain of Youth had it not been for Juan Ponce de Leon. Or if his name wouldn't have been as cool, we probably wouldn't know it either. Of course, Juan Ponce de Leon never found the Fountain of Youth. He died. All those people with him died. And no one else has ever found that fountain of youth. Yet we still look for the fountain of youth. I think we've given up the search for an actual body of water. But now we do it through lotions and potions. And serums of this and extracts of that. You know, when I was a little boy, I would go to my Grandma Holloway's house. And you remember, my Grandma Holloway died when I was 5. But I remember this as clear as a bell. Back then, my grandma used oil of Olay. You can still see the bottle. I'd watch the commercials on KALB about oil of Olay takes your wrinkles away. And I'd watch Mama put that oil of Olay on her face, and I'd wait. Nothing ever changed. They may have gotten softer, but they were still there. We still look for the fountain of youth. But you know something? There's a way to renew yourself. There is a way to find a fountain of youth, so to speak, and it is better than aerobics. It's cheaper than health food. It is quicker than even those shots you can give yourself. It's way more easy. It's way easier than exercise. The miracle cure is found right here. Psalm 103. If you want to be rejuvenated, the rejuvenation of your life is in the benefits God brings into your life. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, loving, compassion, satisfaction, they all lead to our youth being renewed. And so David says it's like the eagles, just renewed like the eagles. What does that mean? Well, it has to do with the eagles molting. The eagle is, I guess, the strongest of birds. I'm told they can fly like 200 miles an hour. Somebody said they can look directly into the sun. I'm not sure how they tested that. Like, did they make the eagle look at the sun and see? And they are just amazing creatures. But an eagle can become burdened and lose its strength. And throughout the year, an eagle's feathers become covered with dirt and with oil and bits of food as they forage and as they feed, as they fish, as they hunt. And this filth on their feathers causes them to be weighed down. And so they don't have the power that they once had. And so, in the providence of God, by God's design, He made the eagle's feathers to be able to molt and to change. They don't just all fall off one day and then reappear. But they, over time, in a year, at a certain time, they will fall off. The old feathers fall out, fresh new ones come in, allowing that eagle to once again fly and soar, and its youth is rejuvenated. When all of the benefits of God come into our lives, they produce rejuvenation. He does all of these things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. God is offering us strength when we're weak, fortitude to look into the eye of the storm, the power to soar up above the trials of life. And so it should be no surprise to us that the one who created us also is the one who can renew our youth. 2 Samuel 1:23 describes Saul and Jonathan in this way. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. I mean, guys, isn't that what you want to be said about you? Man, that dude, he's something. He's swifter than an eagle. He's stronger than a lion. That is a great way to describe somebody. But you know what? You don't have to be a king of Israel or his son to have that said of you. It comes from what God is doing in your life at 9 years old, at 19 years old, or 90 years old. You see, as God bestows benefit after benefit upon us, our burdens are lifted, our youth is restored. As God forgives our sins, He removes the burden of regret and guilt. As God heals our diseases, He removes the burden of those maladies. As God redeems our life from the pit, He removes the burden of despair and the fear of death. As God crowns us and surrounds us with love and compassion, He removes the burden of loneliness and defeat. And as He satisfies our desires with good things, He removes the burden of want and hopelessness. And as He removes those burdens one by one, it's like those dirty old feathers of the eagle dropping off one by one. And we find that, as Isaiah 40:31 says, we mount up on wings like eagles, and we can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. And as Hebrews 12:1 says, we begin to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And what a blessing, what a benefit it is. Like in Psalm 34 verse 10 says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Or John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. Isn't that amazing? So David calls upon himself and others, in fact, all of creation, all of heaven, to join him in praising. He began saying, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. And then look down at verses 19 and following at the end of the psalm. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. So praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His Lord. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. From the highest of heights to the lowest of lows, from the heights of heaven to the lowest of creation, everything is called upon to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you say that with me? Praise the Lord. That was pretty good. But I want you to sound like a bunch of Pentecostals, not Baptists, okay? So one, two, three. Praise the Lord. That's all right, POA. We'll give you a run for your money. We have much for which to be grateful, don't we? And the reason is we have enough. We can be satisfied. I learned about Eunice Sanborn this year. Eunice Sanborn was born here in Louisiana on July 20th, 1896, though her family says she may have actually been born about a year earlier. Well, back on April 6, 2010, Ms. Sanborn was validated as the oldest living person in the United States. And then a couple of months later, November 4th, 2010, she was validated as the oldest living person in the world. You know how you get those distinctions, right? The other oldest person dies, and you say, it's me now. You know? Well, in July of 2010, Ms. Sanborn celebrated her 114th birthday at her church, First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Texas. And Ms. Sanborn told the Houston Chronicle at the time that she not only loved everything about all her years of life, but she had, quote, no complaints. Now, certainly, if Ms. Sanborn had wanted to find some complaints in 114 years, she could have done so. I looked it up. She lived through 20 United States presidents. 20. I think William McKinley was president when she was born. She buried three husbands. She buried her only daughter. If Ms. Sanborn wanted to find some things to complain about, she could have. She had 114 years of grief and trial, but she didn't, because she said complaining is a choice. And I have no complaints. Baylor University's magazine did another story at the time, and they reported this. As the press picked up her story, reporters poured in to ask her advice and insight concerning her longevity. In reply, she could only speak of one thing that defined her days and captivated her heart. And here's her quote. My secret is my Savior. A lot of people don't know Him, but I do. I love Him. He's going to keep on being my secret. Wow. And He was, until just a few months later, when she had her final breath on January 31st, 2011. You know, many people today like to complain and gripe and be angry about stuff and criticize. But those things come from prideful hearts, from arrogant hearts, from sinful hearts, and from hurt hearts. But those who truly love the Lord are like Miss Sanborn, who said, "My secret is my Savior, and I have no complaints." You see, only those people can say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." I'm telling you what, when you live like that, you'll be soaring with the eagles. No matter if you're 9 or 19 or 90. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. I thank you that we've been able to unpack it over the last 3 weeks, and I'm not even sure we've unpacked everything that's there. In fact, I'm sure we've not. But Lord, I pray that it's been written on our hearts. And this morning, I pray for the one in this room or the one watching online who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. They haven't even experienced the first of those benefits, who forgives all your sins. And so, Lord, I pray that today, right now, you would speak to their heart and say, "I want you to be my child. Would you repent of your sin? Would you turn your life over to me? And would you walk with me from this day forward?" I pray also, Lord, for those of us who know that we are saved. We can say that with confidence. And so, Lord, for us, I pray that you would restore the joy of our salvation, that you give us that rejuvenation that you so offer as these benefits come into our life. Maybe there's a benefit we've forgotten about. Maybe there's one we haven't trusted you with. Maybe we're just trying to do everything on our own instead of trusting you. God, would you help us to just praise you? Lord, you are good. Speak to us in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. During this time of invitation, it's a special time when we make decisions to follow Christ. Maybe there's going to be somebody who comes and trusts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There might be somebody who wants to come and join this church family. There may be others who want to come and seek the Lord in prayer. Maybe just to bring prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God for what He's done this year. So this is not a time to rush out. It's a time to rush in on God. And so I'd ask that you just center your eyes on the Lord this morning as we sing this song of testimony and worship. "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." If there's not a decision that you need to make, may that be your prayer to the Lord. If there is a decision to make, you move and come as we sing. Let's stand together and worship the Lord.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou.
a special word in that song. Take that. The Lord will guide you, protect you, and be with you. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. Have a seat just for 1 second. We found this, let me cover it up, this credit card out. If this is yours, I will have it back at the door. If you can give me your name, then I'll give you your card. Because I didn't say the name. All right, so that's there. Also, we had our new member class, new and prospective member class, we call First Step, last Sunday night. And I just wanted to introduce to you some of the people who joined. We had 10 people join last Sunday, 9 of those during the First Step class. And so we have their I'll just show a picture of this is what it looks like when we do that. If you're a new prospective member, we just meet in our house. We have a great meal, then we get together for the meal. But we have joining our church, Alvin Fogelman, Brian Haynes and his wife, Andrea, and then we have Jeff and Kim Harris, we have Rhonda Benson, and Robin and Tammy Bordelon, and also one of their sons, Garrett, is also joining, coming on transfer of letter. Isn't that good to welcome all those new folks into our church family? So we won't have another one of those until much later. But because we go into the holiday season, but sometime in the spring we'll have another one of those times to get together. But you can join any Sunday too if you're looking for that. If you want to have questions answered, you can just see me and be happy to do that. Youth, remember, if you're going to YEC, meet here at the church at 4 today over in the snack bar youth area, so that we'll have food for you, and then you can get on over to the youth evangelism celebration. Chris Roller, one of our deacons, is gone and offer our closing prayer. Would you please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? If I don't see you before Thursday, God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Our church office will be closed Wednesday through Friday to allow our church staff to have time with their families. God bless you.
Bow with me, church. Heavenly Father, we come and just thank you for the blessing that we have, the privilege that we have to come and spend time in your word, Father. And as we go into this week, Father, we return those thanks in a heartfelt way as we proceed through this season of Thanksgiving and then ultimately into the blessed season of celebrating the birth of your miraculous son, Jesus, and what that means for each one of us and the light that that brings to the world as we go into this season. Father, as we depart from here, just ask a special amount of traveling grace and blessings on this week, and just forgive us where you fail and lead us as you would have us to go as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.